Howdy, everyone. I trust that you are doing well today and you're experiencing the wonders and the joy of abiding in Christ. It's an amazing thing to think about this salvation that's ours. Salvation is not Jesus giving you something. It's you're receiving Jesus himself or him receiving you into his life. Therefore, you're receiving him into your life. And from that place of oneness, living your daily lives by Christ, from Christ, and the power of his resurrection. Just amazing, stunning. I want to talk to you a little bit today about prayer. The rest of the week, I'm again going to be out of town, unfortunately. I'll be back at it next week. I think I'll be here all week next week in terms of Monday through Thursday doing these broadcasts. But this will be our last time this week. But I want to talk to you about prayer from my favorite place in Scripture, particularly in referencing the prayer of petition, your own personal request for your own life, and intercession as you're praying for other people. And this isn't just about that, but I want to talk about that in particular today. And my favorite verse concerning prayer is from the book of Revelation, chapter 4. Now, when you think about the book of Revelation, this is, of course, post-cross, and John's about 95 years old when he's having this encounter with the Lord. And this encounter that he's having, God is revealing to him about human chaos and how that's going to evolve throughout history. But in the midst of revealing to him about human chaos, he says something to John that's pretty amazing. Now remember, this is John, the Christian, who is seated in heavenly places in Christ, just like every other Christian. And so heaven is not just our destiny, it's also our starting place. And so everyone is in Christ, they're seated in heavenly places in Christ. And that's true about John. And so when you read the language here, it's important to understand that so that you don't get confused. So let me read what it says. I'm going to read most of the first five or six verses. After these things, after the Lord had shown him some things, not everything, but some of the things. Now these words, after these things, can also be translated properly in the midst of these things. And I believe that that's an accurate translation. So I'm going to read this in the midst of these things, in the midst of what God has shown him concerning human chaos. He says, in the midst of these things, John said, I looked, and behold, a door was standing open in heaven. And the first voice, which I had heard, like the sound of a trumpet, speaking with me, said, come up here, and I will show you what must take place in the midst of these things. Immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was standing in heaven, and one sitting on the throne. And he who was sitting was like a jasper stone, like a diamond. All the prisms, this is about his glory, revealing all the aspects of his glory, of his nature. This, like a jasper stone, and sardius in appearance. Sardius is this bright red color, so this is speaking about his wholeheartedness. And there was a rainbow around the throne, so it's like a circular rainbow, like emerald in appearance, not multicolored, but green. So rainbows speak of promises. Green speaks of everlasting. So this is about the everlasting faithfulness of Jesus. His glory, his wholeheartedness, his everlasting faithfulness, this one who's sitting on this throne. And then he says, I saw 24 elders sitting clothed in their garment, white garments. The 24 elders is speaking of the church. And golden crowns on their heads. And from the throne proceed flashes of lightning and sounds and peals of thunder. And there were seven lamps burning. But I want to just stop with that, what he saw happening. As he's invited into this throne room experience, from the throne there proceeded flashes of lightning, sounds, and peals of thunder. Let me put my glasses right here. When he says, he saw a door open in heaven, and the voice that he had heard, recorded back in chapter 1, the voice of God, like the sound of a trumpet, saying, "Come up here, and I will show you what must take place in the midst of these things." The coming up here isn't geographical in the spiritual sense of the word. Paul was already seated in heavenly places in Christ. He's inviting John, to a heavenly perspective, to see from up here. Because you see, when we pray, we're not praying into heaven to bring heaven down. We're praying from heaven into earth. That's, if you're seated in heavenly places in Christ, as you pray in union with Jesus, you're praying from heaven into earth, into the midst of things happening on the earth. You're not praying from earth into heaven to pull heaven down. You're praying from heaven down into the things of the earth, okay? And so again, this isn't about him coming up into heaven. This is about perspective, getting heaven's perspective. And he says, there was this sound like a voice of a trumpet. The door is open. Now, the door is always open for us to pray. Our communion with him, with the Father, is always open because we're in Christ. Because we have Jesus' favor. We have Jesus' relationship. Jesus' nearness that he has with the Father. And so he sees this door open in heaven. And then he hears the voice say to him, "Come up here, and I will show you what must take place." Now, there's a bunch of stuff here we don't have time to look at. I just wanted to see one particular amazing thing. When he says, I want to show you what must take place. Now, why did he want John to know what must take place? Is it because he just wanted John to have a good view as a spectator? No, he's revealing this to John because he's inviting John to partner with him and impacting what's happening on the earth from a place of prayer. You see, prayer is our Father who loves us so. Our Father's pleasure, it brings him pleasure to invite you, to allow you to participate in sovereign God moving the pieces on the board. In other words, impacting the way things happen in your life and lives of others. It brings the Father pleasure to do that. Just like if you're a father and you have a shop, you like to work in your shop, you have a son, and it brings you pleasure to bring your son into the shop, to teach him how to build, how to fix things, and you do it together because it brings you pleasure to share that with your son and for your son to participate in that. It brings the Father pleasure for us to participate in sovereign God moving the pieces on the board. That's a powerful thing. "And I will show you what must take place in the midst of these things." So John was going to play a role. This is why God's showing him this, because he's inviting John to play a role in partnership, in union with Christ, in Jesus' name, to play a role in moving the pieces on the board, of impacting what's going on in the midst of these things. And then he sees all that. What he sees, this Jesus on his throne. Now again, we're in him on that throne. And it's from that place that we pray. It's a place of rest, but it's also a place of authority. The authority of Christ, the rest of Christ, the authority of Christ. And what he sees from that throne is he sees flashes of lightning and sounds and peals of thunder. The word "sounds" here is a word that's used often in the Old Testament, speaking of God's voice. The word actually in Hebrew in the Old Testament about God's voice is just, there's just this sound. It's kind of like the sound that encompasses all sounds. The sound of God. It's kind of like Aslan's roar that created the earth. You know, like God spoke, "Let there be light," and it happened. It's this creative, amazing sound. And so there's lightning, there's thunder, and there's this creative sound of God's voice coming from this throne. As Jesus is saying to John, "I want you to come up here in the midst, and I want to show you what must take place in the midst of these things." Now, chapter 8. In chapter 8, let me read these verses to you, beginning in verse 3. Let me pick my Bible up and do this. And another angel came and stood at the altar, holding a golden censer. That's the thing that holds incense. A golden censer, and much incense was given to him, that he might add it to the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar, which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense, with the prayer, which was the prayers of the people, went up before God out of the angel's hand. And the angel took the censer and filled it with the fire of the altar and threw it to the earth. And there followed peals of thunder and sounds and flashes of lightning and earthquake. Now again, what you have here is you have an angel, you have an altar, and there's these coals of fire. And this altar is before God, before the throne. The angel's got a censer and it's empty. And he takes coals from the fire. They're like our prayers. He calls them, and he adds it to the prayers of all the saints which are upon the altar. So he takes those coals and he puts them in the censer and then adds incense to it. And then that incense, the prayers of the people, comes up into the nostrils of God. And then it says in response, he takes the censer, he fills it with the fire of the altar and throws it to the earth. And there follows peals of thunder and sounds and flashes of lightning and earthquake. Every time you pray for a situation in your life, for a situation in the life of another, it's the prayers of all the saints. It comes up before God's nostrils, brings him pleasure, because it brings him pleasure to include us, to participate in sovereign God moving the pieces on the board. And so it brings him pleasure. And his response was to take those coals, incense, the prayers of the people, like coals, and throw them to the earth. And it's like peals of thunder, like flashes of lightning, and the sounds. And it creates earthquakes. Now, it's the same language that's used in John 4. This is a beautiful spiritual metaphorical description of what prayer does. Even the prayer of the smallest child who simply at their bedside at night says, "Oh God, please bless mommy. Please bless daddy. Please help mommy. Please help daddy." Doesn't have to be sophisticated. When we get so hung up in the language of prayer, it becomes almost like a superstition. You got to say it right. The words got to be right. It's got to be like formulas. No, you're seated in heavenly places in Christ, and all the prayers of the saints, the ones that are fancy and the ones that are not. Again, even the simplest prayer of a small child saying, "God help mommy, God help daddy," is taken from the altar and cast down to earth like flashes of lightning, like thunder. And there's the sound of God's voice, God's creative voice that goes with it. That's the picture that John saw in chapter 4. As he's saying, "Come up here, I will show you what must take place." And he sees this scene of flashes of lightning and thunder coming from the throne. And the sound of God's voice, this creative sound of God's voice, coming from the throne. But it adds in Revelation 8, and then there's earthquakes. So what John is witnessing is just this amazing flow of prayers being offered up, prayers coming flowing down like lightning and like thunder, nothing passive, the voice of God's creative voice carrying it with them. And then when it hits the ground, when it hits the situation, it causes earthquake. And earthquake causes shifts, changes things. Every time you pray, the simplest prayer, riding down the road, maybe something happened, you couldn't have your quiet time this morning. Maybe you only had 5 minutes. Or again, maybe you're just riding down the road and you're praying, "Oh God, please do this or whatever." That's offered up to God and is cast back down the earth like lightning and thunder with the sound of God's creative voice. And earthquakes are happening, even if you can't see it. every time you pray, there's an earthquake. There's something happening in the spiritual realm, in that person's heart, in the circumstances. There's a shifting that's happening. You know, and so we keep praying that shifting has moved things in to such alignment with God's will that we see the full manifestation of the answer. But trust me, what John is seeing is that every time their prayer, there's like this, it's almost like a machine. It's like this prayer is being offered, and there's continually coming from the throne lightning and thunder, the sound of God's creative voice carrying it. And then every time it hits the earth, there's an earthquake that occurs. I don't know about you. I wish we had more time to talk about this, but that just blows my mind. It makes me, I don't even like the word make. It provokes me in a holy way to just want to offer the simplest prayers, to not just pray in my set-aside time, but to pray off and on all day long. Because every time I pray in union with Christ, because I pray in His name, so my prayers are being received as His. And every one of them, like a sweet-smelling fragrance to God, are then being cast down. This coals of fire being cast down. And it's like lightning and thunder, and God's voice, creative voice, is going with it. And it's causing earthquakes. And I can trust that and believe that. Even if I can't see the earthquakes, it's happening. There are a lot of tremors under the ground before you see cracks on the earth. There's stuff going on. It's happening. It's making a difference. It's creating shifts. It's affecting things. Well, anyway, that's enough. We probably a little bit over our time. But I get so excited about this because it's one of the simplest explanation of the dynamic of prayer, the wonder of it all. And that door is always standing open, and His voice with excitement, like a trumpet, is inviting you to come up here and show you what must take place so that you can participate in the miracle of earthquakes, spiritually shifting and changing things, changing the activity of humanity, impacting your life, the lives of others, in context of prayer. That's just stunning to me. It's amazing. So I hope that encourages you. It takes prayer from being some kind of formula or some kind of dead thing that you do that's boring, off the shelf, and you understand what you're being invited to participate in because you're in Christ. Okay, well, I love you so much. Spend some time contemplating the wonders of what it means to be in Christ, and then take it out for a spin. Take it out for a spin in prayer. Amen. God bless you. I love you so much.